السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على أشرف الخلق أجمعين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه والتابعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وبعد. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We send blessings and salutations upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless him and his entire household, and to bless every single one of us and to grant us goodness. My beloved brothers in Islam, this afternoon we will be speaking about business ethics from two angles inshallah. The first is the earning and the second is the spending. It is of utmost importance for us to realize that the two are connected. When a person earns in a proper way, he will be accepted by the Almighty to spend in a proper way. But when a person has earned in a clandestine manner, he has usurped the wealth of people, he has earned haram, he will not be accepted to use that wealth in a correct way. It will be used for destruction, it will be used for disunity, it will be used for the split up of his own family, perhaps sickness, and perhaps so many other issues. This does not mean that if someone is ill or sick, that their wealth was haram. It does not mean that. Nor does it mean that if someone's family is split, that their wealth was haram. No. It is not a condition, but it is only what we call a tick-off list. If we have a difficulty, go back and check. It's a diagnostic period or a system of diagnosis, whereby if you have a sickness, you first go, for example, to your GP. He tells you, go for a blood test. Perhaps we might rule out this, rule out that. Then you find this is clear, that is clear. You might look for something else until you find out why what has happened has happened. But more or less, when a person's wealth is haram and his earning is wrong, he needs to make amends with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes by giving up that which was totally prohibited, because even though we may engage in repentance, when we have wealth, for example, made up of interest, we need to get rid of it in order to be forgiven. This is why in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about tawbah from interest, and he says, وَإِن تُبْتُمْ فَلَكُمْ رُؤُوسُ أَمْوَالِكُمْ. If you are going to repent from having eaten interest, what you need to know is, what belongs to you is only the capital. The excess, you need to get rid of it. And that is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us forgiveness through His mercy. There is a narration where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, there will come a time towards the end of time, and we are there already. لا يبالي المرء أمن الحلال أكل أم من الحرام. A person will not really be bothered whether what he has consumed was halal or haram. Now this is very difficult and very dangerous. The reason we say this is, halal is clear, haram is clear. There is a common hadith that we know of Nu'man ibn Bashir radiallahu anhu in Sahih Muslim. It's a very famous hadith where he says, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna al-halal bayyin wa inna al-haram bayyin." That which is halal is very clear, that which is haram is very clear. Wa baynahuma umurun mushtabihatun. And between the two there are some items which are not so clear. You need to know, whoever falls into that which is not clear has fallen into haram. And whoever has saved themselves from that which is not clear has protected himself totally. Why we say this is very simple. If you have meat in front of you and five people are telling you this is halal and another five are telling you it is haram, you have two options. The first option is you stay away from it. If you have stayed away from it, none of the ten told you it is haram. None of them told you that if you do not consume it, you are sinful. They were just debating as to whether it is permissible or not. Because you stayed away from it, you kept yourself away from the debate. it is impossible for you to have done something wrong. Totally. You have eradicated the chances of you having done something wrong because you stayed away. There was a debate. The minute you partook of that meat, wherein there was a debate of the people whether it was halal or not, you have put yourself in such a big risk that there was a great chance that this thing was haram, it may have been, and now you are in the circle of gambling. Basically, you are risking taking a chance. So, from that hadith, it's a long hadith, beautiful hadith, we come to learn that when there is something doubtful, leave it, abstain from it. For us, we should abstain, because when we abstain, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will realize and understand our spiritual boost and our link with our Maker, our preparation for the Akhirah. My beloved brothers and the sisters who may hear this a little bit later on, believe me, we are taught on the globe today by the Western world and by the material world that we need to survive and live off that which is luxurious. That's what we are taught. So everyone is unhappy. The reason is, if we are having a salary of $5,000, we still want another five. We are not happy at it. We are fighting with those we work for. We are not happy with business. The reason is we want more and more and more. If you have 10 businesses, you want to increase it to 20. We are not happy. The reason is we are taught on the globe, once I get to a point, I must work higher and higher and higher until my name is written amongst the wealthy of the city. That's what we are taught. And after that, my name must be written amongst the wealthy of the world. I must compete. So instead of competing when it comes to goodness and the link with Allah, we compete when it comes to the worldly material life. And this is how we dive straight into that which is haram, because of lack of contentment. So it is important for us to be happy, to be content, in order for us to enjoy what Allah has given us and realize that wallahi, you will never ever be able to spend the amount of wealth you have earned beyond a certain point. That's it. If you have $50 million in your account, I don't think you are going to spend more than 1 million of that. The other 49, your heirs will be fighting over it. Your children will stop talking with each other solely because you left a large amount of money and you went away. What's the point? Here I'm talking of majority of the cases. I know, because we deal with matters. This is why an intelligent, wealthy person is he who has distributed totally his wealth amongst his heirs before he's died. Totally. Visit the ulama and find out how that is done. That is an intelligent man. Wallahi, to keep your family intact and to have a good relation with fellow human beings, especially your relatives, is far more valuable than $50 million in your bank account. I think some of the youngsters will say, no, no, the 50 million is better. Because we have lost the plot. We have turned around, and today for us, my money comes before my father. It comes before my mother and my children and my brothers and sisters. Wallahi, my brothers and sisters, if the problem between you and the others is to do with wealth, give it to them. Are we ready? You will purchase your paradise. Once, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, outside his door, he heard two people debating over the ownership of an item. سَمِعَ جَلَبَةَ خَصْمٍ بِبَابِ حُجْرَتِهِ فَخَرَجَ فَقَالَ أَلَا إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ وَإِنَّمَا يَأْتِينِ الْخَصْمُ. Beautiful hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he came out, he heard the two of them presenting their arguments. Why this is mine? He said, look, I am a human being like you. The two parties come to me. Some of them might be able to express their points more eloquently than the others, and therefore I might rule for the one whom the item does not belong to. And if that happens, he should know that that item is a piece of the fire. He can either take it or leave it, because it does not belong to him. He knows. When two people are arguing over the ownership of something, deep down they know whose it is. Deep down they know what it is. So the one who knows it is not his, the Prophet ﷺ says, it is a piece of the fire, he can either take it or leave it. When they heard this, both of them left the item and went away. Allahu Akbar. Both of them left the item and went away. I want to ask you a question. Are we ready to even do a portion of that? Allahu Akbar. We are not asking one another to leave the item and go away, but when you know it is not yours, when you know you owe someone money, why do you delay in payment? The wealthy have sometimes two problems. What are the problems? The wealthy ask for bigger discounts than the poor. Have you noticed that? When a wealthy man enters your shop, he scrounges much more than a poor man who walks in, how much is this, pay the money and walk out. Why is it a sickness? Brother, maybe your wealth is not clean enough to be allowed to be used as a means of profit for a poor man trying to make and earn, trying to earn a living. Remember, give him his price. If you are ready and you feel this is a decent price, do not squeeze him to the degree that you as a wealthy man, there is no portion in your wealth to help a man earn a living. Allahu Akbar. Where are our Islamic ethics gone? Problem number one. Problem number two. Wealthy people sometimes delay payment more than the poor. A man is wealthy and these poor people whom he has brought goods from or services were done, he doesn't pay them. A month passes, 2 months passes, he goes 20, 30 times as though the one who did the service for the wealthy man and is now asking for payment is actually doing a favor. Allahu Akbar. And that it is as though the rich man is doing him a favor by him coming every now and again, brother, my money, it's been 2 months, 3 months. Sometimes you have a person who will ask you for a discount after a discount just because now the payment is ready to be made. May Allah protect us. So this is why we say, learn to give one another what is the due on time. Learn not to squeeze someone to the degree that when they in the evening have raised their hands to Allah, they say, Ya Allah, this man has really squeezed me, Ya Allah, squeeze him too. We don't want that. Why wouldn't we want Akhirah to the degree that people raise their hands and say, Ya Allah, what a good deal, what a good man, grant him more barakah, grant him. That is how you earn wealth. And remember, when we have earned wealth through usurping and through haram means, it will not be used, as I said at the beginning, in something good. The reason why I say this is because when a man has earned through interest or gambling, gambling is very common. You know, people quietly and silently like to join the queue of the lottery. And they very silently purchase it, remove their headgear, sometimes wear some clothing that will probably make them look a bit Buddhistic. And after a while, they quickly get out of that queue and come back. When they win, they quietly, you know, like to get this wealth. That wealth will be used on women and wine, and it will be used on something evil and bad, and it will not come about with goodness because it was earned in a clandestine way. Like we say, when you put one morsel of food that is wrong into your mouth, what happens to it? And I've explained this in the past here in the city. It contaminates your mouth, so whatever you utter is always foul. You will not be happy until big F and B swear words come out of your mouth. Then you are happy. Because why? What you fed your mouth with was haram. Then it goes through your esophagus, it comes through the duodenum, and it goes through the little intestine, the big intestine. You are being cursed by your own organs all the way. And the energy derived from that which was haram, do you think it is going to boost your connection with salah? It won't. So you feel lazy to come to the masjid because your income was haram. You don't understand why. Am I feeling so lazy? When you want to fulfill salah, you want to sleep because what you ate was haram. The energy is only for sleeping. It is not for salah. It is not for Quran. And when you look at the qudra of Allah, you look at the Quran, you are not happy. But you look at a naked woman, you are excited. The reason is, our eyes are being given the energy through something we ate which was totally haram. How can they be quenched by looking at the Quran? Or for example, by looking at that which is beneficial in terms of Islamic knowledge, or even by looking at a religious person. Subhanallah, we are not happy. You see someone looking religious, we get angry. Our children try to cover up properly and we shout them, how are you going to get married? That's a common one. It's a common trend amongst the Muslims now. Across the globe, every community I have been to, there have been this type of a difficulty. It may be in your midst as well. where your daughter tries to cover up slightly, you say, don't cover. How are you going to get married? Well, the one who wants to marry you when you are uncovered is the same one whom you will be divorced from. Allahu Akbar. The reason is, that is the one you're supposed to be staying away from. If he married you because he liked how you looked when you were uncovered, once you are married, he will like how others look when they are uncovered. Then what are you going to do? It's common sense. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant our mothers and fathers really the ability to look at their own children, sons and daughters, in a way that when you see some facial hair, you do not discourage them. When you see some, you know, donning that hijab, you do not discourage them. But sometimes, when the way we have earned is wrong, then you should know there will be no other way of thinking besides the haram way. And this is why we say, even if you have chosen a job, choose a job that is closest to goodness, the best job possible. Sometimes jobs are not available, and sometimes we have to work. So what we should do is, whilst we are working, we can still look for a better job. The day it comes, you snap at it. And if, for example, you happen to be working in an environment or for a business that may not be 100% Islamically compliant, if we were forced into that condition, for as long as we are in there, as I said, we ask Allah to forgive us. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open our doors to get something which is far better than that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant it to us. What is worse than feeding yourself that which is haram is to feed your family that which is haram. Innocent children from a young age are being fed with that which is haram. Now they have illicit relations. They have, for example, they are hooked onto pornography. They have a feeling of changing their sex and gender. It's happening. They have the feeling that, you know what, I don't want to marry a woman, I want to marry a man. These are the feelings the people are getting. Where did it come from? It came from many factors. But on the tick list, we have one factor we need to check. Was our income halal or haram? That's something we need to tick off. And I'm wording it very carefully because it's not the only thing sometimes. There are many other factors. This is why I'm calling it a tick list to check. Sometimes you are suffering, you might have deficiency of vitamin B, vitamin D, or perhaps iron, or perhaps zinc, or perhaps calcium. But you need to check each one and tick it off. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us goodness. So my beloved brothers and sisters, very, very importantly, we need to know that when Allah has chosen us to spend our wealth to help the poor, to help the cause of the deen, to give a portion of it, and we feel like we want to give, that is a sign of acceptance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because our wealth is used to support the cause, to support something good, to help the destitute, to help the poor. There are so many poor people in our midst. Perhaps we might be able to benefit them in such a way that when they raise their hands to Allah asking for your goodness, the sickness you did not know you had would be cured, and you will only find out on the day of judgment that you actually had a cancerous element that was eradicated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala solely because the du'as of those whom you had assisted in your life. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open our doors. And I always say, my brothers and sisters, there are sicknesses we have, we don't know, and we may never know. May Allah grant us cure. May Allah open our doors. Learn to help one another. The hadith is clear. كَانَ اللَّهُ فِي عَوْنِ الْعَبْدِ مَا كَانَ الْعَبْدُ فِي عَوْنِ أَخِيهِ. Allah continues to remain in the assistance of His worshipper. For as long as that worshipper continues to remain in the assistance of a fellow worshipper. Amazing hadith. If you look at that, how can we then cheat someone? How can we deceive someone? How can we overcharge someone? Do you know, part of helping one another is to charge the correct price. Even if you have not given a discount, the fact that it was the correct price, you have put up a little bit of your profit and you have considered the one who's going to buy, in that case, that would actually be assisting your fellow worshipper. And if you are assisting them in that way, Allah has promised He will assist you when you need it most. And this is why a hadith, powerful hadith, we know it, I'm sure, seven categories of people who will be granted the special shade on the day of Qiyamah. And you have people who love one another for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That love of one another for the sake of Allah
when you put materialism in the middle, you will never be able to love one another for the pleasure of Allah. In fact, you will hate one another for the pleasure of your wealth. This is what happens. May Allah open our doors. My brothers and sisters, I would like to call on all those who have broken ties and relations due to wealth to resolve their matters. It is not worth it. Would you like a palace here in the dunya which you might only live in for the next 20 years? And after that, where is our palace? That is the question. You will build it by the payment that you may make to resolve a matter and the crisis between yourselves. Wallahi. You resolve. This is why, even to alleviate the suffering of a fellow human being, Allah says, I will alleviate your suffering on the day of judgment. مَن نَفَّسَ عَن مُسْلِمٍ كُرْبَةً مِن كُرَبِ الدُّنْيَا نَفَّسَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ كُرْبَةً مِن كُرَبِ يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. What a powerful hadith. Whoever alleviates the suffering of a fellow Muslim in this dunya, Allah will alleviate his suffering on the day of judgment. May Allah make it easy for us on that day. We are believers. My brothers and sisters, we know we are heading to the akhirah. We are becoming older as the days pass. This business of materialism will not help us. They are not going to keep digging our graves to add the latest mobile phone with our kafan underneath there every month or year. They won't do that. Once we are gone, the last phone we used, that was the last phone we used. Life will continue for those who remain. For us, we are going to reality. We go into what is known as reality, where your phone don't help you. How you use it whilst you were alive will help you. How you earn your wealth will help you. Today people deceive one another. Today we oppress those who work for us. And we think we are going to come out in a good condition on the day of Qiyamah. Whereas that will come as oppression. Al-Zulmu. Zulumatu yawmi al-Qiyamah. You oppress someone in this world. That will be the darkness of the day of judgment in your tent, in your camp, should I say. May Allah protect us. Wallahi, the way we talk to one another must be professional speech. It must be beautiful, spiritual speech. Smile at one another. It does not mean because I'm the boss, so I need to put a big face with big eyes and start swearing and screaming. No matter who it is, I challenge you, whether it is your driver or the one who cleans your bedroom, I challenge you to respect him and speak to him as though he is your elder brother or sister. Allahu Akbar. That is a true Muslim. Those are the ethics that is upright. Wallahi, no matter who it is and how much wealth they have, take a moment to greet them. Allahu Akbar. There is a sign of Qiyamah that there will come a time when we will only greet those we know. Those who are famous. Those who have wealth. How many of us are here for Jumu'ah? But sometimes we walk out when a poor person greets us. We don't even want to look in their direction. We intentionally walk away. Whereas you would find Allah there. The pleasure of Allah is in replying that greeting. Or you greet first and smile at them. You might not be able to help everyone. You can excuse yourself from assisting in a polite way. But that does not mean you should just ignore a fellow Muslim. Perhaps they will make a dua for you. Give them some importance. A day may come when your children might be in a similar need and the children of those people might be in a position that you were in today. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open our doors. So I have just said a few words. As you know, Jumu'ah is a very short talk where we would like to call it a pep talk, you know. Just to make us think a little bit. May Allah grant us halal income. And may He make us work in a way that really pleases Him. And may He make us from those who can treat one another with utmost respect. May He make us use our wealth in a way that will please Him. We should be happy and excited when our wealth is used for the right cause, to assist the people, to help the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, humanitarian suffering, to alleviate it through our wealth. Wallahi, it's a very, very big sign. May Allah make us generous people, and you should know it is better for you, really, to have spent the millions and the billions investing for your palace in the hereafter, than for having kept it as a huge mountain more than three or four generations would ever need, But remember, it will not go that far. I want to end with one small story. There was a man who has passed away, and he was so wealthy that he said, he made a statement, he said, I have enough wealth for the next 5 generations. When he died, his children began to fight so much that all the wealth was totally depleted. Not even his 5 sons could benefit from it, let alone 5 generations. Whereas when he died, he was so confident that this wealth is enough for the next 5 generations. So remember, each one will come with his wealth. We try our best. We don't want to leave our heirs poor. But you don't have to leave them so affluent and arrogant that already they have a start on the wrong spiritual footing. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open our doors. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabina Muhammad.
For more lectures, visit slhub.com.